This episode of DG's Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Monday, January 9th, 2017. Sad to say, there are only three games on the slate for Monday. I am not sure the reason for that. Maybe it's because the NCAA has its championship game tonight. But either way, the judge is not happy. There's no reason for that. Disgusting. We had a small slate on Sunday, especially on DraftKings. I mean, they only had like four games for their main slate. FanDuel, I think it was five. So I was hoping to get a couple more games in. That is not the case, although the rest of the week should be pretty good. And you can still make money on small slates. It's just much harder to differentiate your lineups. So for me, I will be playing tournaments only. I do not want to play cash games. Everyone's going to be on the same player. It's all going to come down to basically kind of one player on each lineup for the most part. At least there's two out of three games are good. Or if you're the pessimist, you can say 33% of the games stink. But either way, hopefully with the podcast, it will help you and you can still make some money, still have some fun. I would recommend you play a little less than you normally play on a three game slate. That is, it's rough. So not the best of slates, but the show must go on, my friends. Before we start, very important, you support the podcast, rate, review, subscribe. We're actually getting more listeners than ever. We're over 5,000 listeners or downloads a show, which is pretty cool. I didn't think we'd grow this big that fast. It has its pros and it has its cons, but for the most part, that's a glorious thing. So if you guys could leave a review and give a nice little 5-star ratings on wherever you listen, the judge would be very much appreciated. We need to get in those rankings. You guys hear me talk about this all the time. There are golf shows, track shows, fitness shows, canoe shows, bird watching shows. They're all podcasts that are currently ranked above us. I have no idea what algorithm goes into this. Clearly, this podcast is much better. So let's get back in the rankings and dominate. I think a lot of it had the rankings. Has to do with whatever are the new podcasts. For some reason, if it's like a new podcast, it's much easier to break into the rankings. I do not know why. Also, if you would like a premium service, how about a consultation with the judge? Let me know. As you guys know, I've been doing these probably like one or two a day for the last few weeks or so. These are more if you're having kind of a fundamental problem in your DFS overall and you're not happy with your results. If you think it's something in your research, roster construction. They've been going pretty well. Just give you a quick rundown on basically what I do. And now if you either operate to do a 30-minute phone call or a 1-hour phone call, because sometimes the 30 minutes just isn't long enough. But basically I have you fill out a nice little DFS consultation form. And I've been having you send me a cash lineup, a single entry lineup and a GPP lineup so I can review those. Then we figure out your strengths, man or lady. And we'll go over some research tools, some of my favorites, my favorite research tools that you must use. We'll talk about roster construction, obviously. A lot of focus on make sure you're entering the right contest. And then we talk a lot about making sure you're tracking the right information and using the right data. The more information you have, the better. And there's certain information that I think is vital that you must keep track of, even though I know it's a little annoying and somewhat of a pain in the you-know-what. But trust me, it's useful. At this point in DFS, people that are playing, everyone's pretty good. So you need to find ways to put yourself up. You know, if you can increase your score by 2, 3, 4 points every night, that's the difference between not cashing and cashing, losing money and winning money. And ultimately, we're trying to get you to win money. So that's a little rundown of what the consultation's going to be. So if you want that, holler at me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1, or you can go to the website, dgcourtroomdfs.com, and you email me through that. We're also in the works, you know, to maybe do some more things going on with the website and just in general, because we the fact that we're getting so many, you know, listeners, it's kind of getting hard for me. As you guys know, I'm strapped for time, so it's getting hard for me to keep track of everything. And now I opened up a Chambers on DraftKings, which we'll discuss in a minute. And so to all the administrative work, it's just time that I don't have. So I may be bringing someone on board to help me with that. So hopefully that will make things run a little more smoothly in terms of getting into Chambers and things of that nature. Speaking of Chambers, we now have a DraftKings Chambers, which is glorious. We had on Sunday, we had our first 50-man DraftKings Chambers. We did a little test run on Saturday. I think I only had like 20 people or so. But then we easily filled the 50-man tournament on Sunday. So for the three games then on Monday, I'm thinking to probably keep it only 50 as well. But normally, I mean, we can either run like 250-man tournaments, or I'm thinking maybe we run 100 tournament and the top 20 would cash. Still trying to finalize that. If you guys have any thoughts on what you would prefer, let me know. But either way, it's much better, because unlike FanDuel, which is limits me to 20 people, DraftKings, it lets us have, you know, 50, 75, 100 people on any given slate. So that's going to be glorious and a lot of fun. And I'm just glad to be back on DraftKings. Although it's entirely different. I mean, once, I don't know if you've only been playing on FanDuel and you switch over to DraftKings, I mean, man, the prices are pretty crazy. DraftKings is much more proactive, whereas FanDuel is much more reactive. So like on DraftKings, if they see, you know, someone's facing Utah, everyone's price goes down. FanDuel, nope. FanDuel, I mean, you got to wait. I mean, God forbid, like on DraftKings, Tyreek Evans, because he's only playing 15 minutes, his price is way down. Not on FanDuel. FanDuel keeps it at like 7K for like, you know, 2 weeks straight. FanDuel needs to see some production on the court before they do anything with their prices. Whereas DraftKings is much more proactive, and I think it's much better. I think the pricing is much better on that site. So that's good. We have DraftKings Chambers now going on, and to getting into Chambers, there's still no easy way to do it. I'm thinking, like I said, I'm thinking of making like a Twitter account, called maybe like DG Courtroom or Chambers or Chambers something, and I'll just tweet out the links via that, because I'm getting over hundreds and at least 150 DMs a day now of people wanting in Chambers, and now there's some say they only want DraftKings or only FanDuel. Very hard for me to monitor. You can continue to tweet at me or DM me, but it's, you know, I'm not sure if that's going to work out. So the easiest way to do it around 5 p.m. Eastern, that will be the time I will be tweeting out the links to FanDuel Chambers and probably DraftKings Chambers. So I think that's one way to kind of have a level playing field and give everyone an equal chance of getting in. Because at the end of the day, I want everyone who wants to enter Chambers to get in. Now, every day, that's not going to be possible. And if you keep trying and you can't, obviously reach out to me and the judge will try to find a way to hook you up. But like I said, if you just DM me, I know it's been working in the past, but going forward, I'm not sure if that's going to be the best way to go about it. I will still try, but the judge will try his best to get you in, but no promises. Also, our lovely sponsor, Draft, make sure you've downloaded the app and make sure you use the promo code DFBPOD. When you download, if you did download, you didn't use the promo code, make sure you let me know. I cannot wait. Unfortunately, IT side of everything is kind of takes some time. So the Draft people are working on getting us brackets for the Judges Chambers. We currently already have a league called the Judges Chambers on Draft. And I think almost all of you who have downloaded have automatically been entered there. But the problem is you can't do like a 20-person snake draft every day, because the snake drafts are on the app Draft are five players. You know, we each get five players on our team. And if there's 20 people, that would mean there needs to be 100 players on that slate. And some slates, like a three-game slate, that's just not big enough to have a huge number of teams or number of people to be able to play Chambers every night on Draft right now. But like I said, they're making up these awesome NCAA tournament brackets. So it's going to be basically a one-on-one, you know, snake draft, and then winners advance, you know, like an NCAA bracket, and then until we finally have a winner. And I think we'll just keep having those brackets over and over again. So second that is up, I will let you know. It's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure you download the app and you get some practice runs in, so you're ready to go when the brackets come up, because that's going to be awesome. So I cannot wait for that. All right. actually had some time to go over some administrative stuff because we only have a 3-game slate. Now, let us talk about where are we on my show sheet? All right, got that. Oh, for the I've unleashed the new power rankings for the Chambers. And just for any people who are new to the show, new to the podcast, Chambers is basically just a daily tournament that we're running, like I've mentioned, now on DraftKings, FanDuel, and eventually on the app draft itself, which some of the best DFS players in the land throughout the world. I also noticed that we have about 5-6% of our listeners are outside of the United States. So that's pretty cool. So I want to say thanks for listening if you're outside of the United States and inside the United States, of course. I think we have like 2 or 3% who live in Australia. That's pretty cool. So for the I just updated the power rankings over the weekend. So I want to give a shout out to the top, you know, few guys who have made that. The guy who took the number one spot, Jeremir at @JRamirez00 on Twitter. He's been on quite the roll lately. He's won 10 chambers this year, which is by far the most. I think the next most is someone who's won, I think, maybe 3 or 4. So he's just been on a crazy, fantastical run right now. I don't know how much he's playing a night, what he's playing, but hopefully he's made thousands and thousands of dollars because his scores warrant that. So congrats to him. He has overtaken SCAS12 at Fluckin Fantasy, who held the number one spot for the previous 2 weeks. And now there's a pretty big gap. Jeremy's got that number one spot. Right now he's got a nice little lead. And there's a battle for number two spot between SCAS12 and his friend Nesto, I Am Legend, who's a very solid DFS provider. So those two are battling for the number two spot. I also want to give a quick shout out to three people who are newly ranked in the power rankings this week. That's Armando Cosme, who's claiming a number 7, King_Poise at Chaos927, who's came in number 8 this week, and Vinsanity07, who's ranked number 9. I don't know Vinsanity's Twitter handle. So Vinsanity, if you listen to the podcast, if you're playing Chambers, I hope you do, because you have entered the power rankings. So let me know your Twitter handle. And if you play Chambers in general, let me know your Twitter handle so I can give you a proper shout out, right? Starting next week, we will have the power rankings for DraftKings, because you got to have power rankings if you're having Chambers every day. And eventually, maybe we'll have it for the app draft as well. So congrats to those guys. As always, Chambers has been a lot of fun, and hopefully it will continue. In terms of Chambers for Sunday night, wow, I didn't have a chance to write down the winners. So sorry, guys. I did tweet out the people who won. I think R. Geiger won. I think, man, all right. I know I feel bad. I know I'm going to get yelled at by you guys if I don't give proper shout-outs. Open up my Twitter and get to it. Just talk amongst yourselves for a second. So the winners on Sunday night, yeah, R. Geiger did take down one of them. And then the squad god took down the other one. So congrats to both you guys. That was FanDuel. And then on DraftKings, our winner was HeHateMe21. This guy was, I think, at the top of the power rankings at last year in DraftKings. So he's a pretty good DraftKings player. He's probably been itching for us to get back on Chambers on DK. So congrats to you, my friend. Congrats to all the winners. Congrats to everyone who played. We should give a participation medal for Chambers players. All right. Let's talk Dream Killer, Dream Lover, shall we? That's always fun. To me, that's a highlight of the show. That's where I get to talk about. I mean, we could talk about if we want to just cut that out to make the podcast shorter. Which, I mean, that way I can get more sleep, so I'm not opposed to that. But the one reason I do like doing it, obviously I like talking about dream killers and dream lovers, but it kind of does recap the day's previous day's NBA action as well. And sometimes I think it's just good to know kind of what happened, what took place, you know, who's getting minutes, who's not, why someone all of a sudden sucked. I think that's somewhat important because you can still win if you're just, you know, sitting behind a computer, have no idea who these players are. You're just looking at numbers and treating these players like stocks. I do think if you actually watch some games or at least, you know, listen to a podcast that talks about some of the players in the games, I think that does give you a leg up. So dream killers, let's start with the coaches, huh? How about can we have a little bit of originality? I mean, all these coaches are so moronic. They're so old school. They're so stupid. I mean, dear God, this is why That's why fired coaches, they keep getting recycled in almost every sport. Let's get some new blood in there. Let's get some thinkers, some dreamers. I mean, I'm so tired of watching these coaches. First of all, when Jeff Green has been on 28 of the 30 teams in the NBA, why is he still getting any minutes? Nonetheless, splitting minutes with Aaron Gordon. We'll get to him in a second. But I mean, so the rotations are one thing where coaches can be dream killers. But also, like when someone gets two fouls in the first quarter, why does 99.9% of the coaches take them out? When you get three fouls in the first half, coaches take them out. When you get four fouls third quarter, you take it out. I mean, like every coach does this. Steve Kerr today, Draymond Green picked up his fourth foul early in the third quarter. He turned to Kerr. He said, "Keep me in." And Kerr said, "Okay." And Draymond was fine. And Draymond came and went and he hit value and he had a very nice game. But no other coach does that. And it's super annoying and it's really stupid, quite honestly, for the most part, especially if you have a smart player who's like never fouled out before. Like I saw Spoelstra do this with Goran Dragic the other night. It's idiotic. Plus, if your team almost has no chance to win the game without that player and it is like your best player, just keep the guy in. What's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to lose the game anyway. It's just stupid. So coaches are a dream killer for me. And in particular, Coach Jaeger and Coach Vogel. Just busters. I can't stand those two guys. Which is a nice segue to Aaron Gordon. A massive dream killer. Probably he may have been the most popular player to own on this slate. He was under 5K, at least on FanDuel. He was still like 4.8K. On DraftKings, he was priced appropriately. He was like 5.6K. Orlando had a super tasty matchup versus the Lakers. Aaron Gordon was coming off of a great game against Houston where he shut down James Harden, and he outscored James Harden in FanDuel production. He had like 35 FanDuel points that night. So what's his reward? His reward is 24 minutes against the Lakers, and Vogel gave Jeff Green basically 23, 24 minutes. Now, Aaron Gordon wasn't great when he was in there, but he only took five shots, was 0 for 5 from the floor. I think he ended up with less than 10 FanDuel points. It was just an utter disaster. But it's, you know, in the first half, he played he played 8-10 minutes. It was just disgusting. So massive dream killer for Aaron Gordon. John Lure was another one. Just a debacle. He got injured 6 minutes in. Detroit was up against Portland. Not only that, this game had the nerve to go to double overtime. And Portland is the worst in the NBA defending power forward. So DeLure, you know, he's a man without a usage rate, but still going up against Portland, there was no way he wasn't going to stumble and bumble in 20 FanDuel points, probably more than that. And then if the game goes to double overtime, he could have had a super, super excellent, fantastical night. I don't know why I've said fantastical twice in this podcast, but I have, and I like it. So I will continue it. But so I had John Lure, and he gave me 1.5 FanDuel points in 6 minutes, and that was enough to kill your lineup. Because if you thought playing Derek Favors was bad, Lure was worse. Favors, who if you played him, I'm not sure why you did. I guess I understand the rationale. He's still dirt cheap, especially on FanDuel, and he's coming off of a great game on Saturday, probably his best game of the year, and everyone loves recency bias. Everyone remembers the last game. So all you guys went back to the well. In the slowest game, is on the slowest over-under, slowest pace game that I've seen since 1979, Utah-Memphis. I wanted no part of this game. For cash especially, it was a complete fade for me. But Favors was really high-owned, especially in cash games. Played 24 minutes, 2 for 7 from the floor. You know, he's been dealing with all these injuries. So even though he played over 30 minutes on Saturday, I kind of expected him to play about 24, 26. And he put up, I think, 8 FanDuel points. So, yeah, that's kind of what I thought he'd do a little better than that. But, I mean, I didn't think he had a very high ceiling in this game, and it just wasn't the right spot for him. Because as you guys know, the judge likes two things in life. He likes pace and usage, and neither of those were good for Favors in this game. And you knew pace was going to be just horrific. DeMarcus Cousins, he was my soul crusher of the night. He still ended up with like 37 FanDuel points, I think. He started off the game against Golden State playing well. He was racking up 11 FanDuel points in like the first couple minutes. They have no one to guard him, especially down low. He picks up two fouls, and then Coach Jaeger pulls him, and then he picked up three fouls early in the second quarter. So he basically sat out the entire first half, and I think he played maybe 11 minutes in the first half, if that. And the problem is and I need to do a study on this. If you pick up two fouls in the first quarter, your odds of hitting value must be less than like 5%. No player ever does it. It's just at the rest of the game, that player is a mess. Like, psychologically, it just does something to you. It's just super bizarre. And then Cousins did his usual idiotic self. He was a moron. He was moping around the court. He's whining to officials. And against Golden State, he has the advantage down low. And what is he trying to do? Yeah, we all know now that Cousins, yeah, he can take you out on the perimeter a little bit. You know, he likes to show you his skills. He likes to shoot threes, and that's fine. But against Golden State, don't do that. Dear God, get down low where you have the advantage. Post up, for God's sake. I mean, like, it just plays into Golden State hands when he's trying to dribble outside the three-point line. I mean, that's it allows Golden State to go small, and it was just idiotic. He had a stretch where he had, like, four straight turnovers as he's trying to be a point guard by the three-point line. Just super frustrating. I mean, he should have had a great night and should have smashed. Now, there were Vucevic and Drummond, I thought, were much better kind of cash game plays just because they were in elite matchups, although Drummond's a tin man. But – so, I mean, Cousins, it's just a soul-crushing night because, like I said, I mean, Drummond just destroyed him in terms of overall FanDuel production. And I think Vucevic basically got the same, or if not a little bit more. LeBron, I have as a dream killer. Like, LeBron played 40 minutes against Phoenix in a super fast-paced game. I think both teams were around, right around 120 actual points. And LeBron barely got 40 FanDuel points, if that. And if you just watched that game, it was really a bizarre game to watch. Cleveland, I mean, they were there, and I guess in real life, but they weren't trying very hard. I mean, they basically let Phoenix stick around that game, which for DFS players was great. If you had exposure to that game, especially on the Phoenix side, it worked out. The Cavs guys were, I mean, Kyrie did okay, LeBron did okay, and Kevin Love did pretty good. But I mean, like, LeBron, he should have destroyed those guys. It was bizarre. It's the same with Kyrie. It was weird. I mean, they were playing, but it didn't seem like they were trying too hard. They were just on purpose. They were trying to let Phoenix in the game. Bizarre. Dream killer for me, LeBron. Go kill yourself, LeBron. I hate you tonight. Nick Young. Yeah, if you played him, I got a lot of tweets asking what the hell's going on with Nick Young. You know, this is the risk. If you play a one-trick pony, this is what's going to happen. When he misses shots, there's no reason to play him, and he was 1-for-7 today. And quite honestly, the other thing was, Lou Williams didn't even get more minutes. Luke Walton has really kind of shortened that rotation, and he went to Jordan Clarkson a lot tonight, and he went to Ingram, were the two main guys off the bench. And Waffle House Randall is actually getting some solid minutes these days, but Nick Young was atrocious when he was in there, and if he's not hitting shots, there's no reason to play him. So, and he hasn't been good lately either. So 19 minutes, 1-for-7 from the field. Nick Young, one trick pony, and then that can happen. If you play one of the Crash brothers, Klay Thompson, disaster. I mean, at least Steph and Durant and Draymond played well. Elfrid Payton, this is why Vogel is a dream killer. I mean, Elfrid Payton has been playing really well. He got moved back to starting lineup a couple games ago, so we all thought, oh, this is great news. Now he's going to be able to start smashing value because he's shown like 40-50 point upside. He gets a fantastic best matchup in the world versus the Lakers, and what happens? What the hell happens? What happens? I throw my remote. I throw my gavel. The bailiff won't talk to me because he was a soul crusher too. He gets 19 minutes. 19 freaking minutes against the Lakers. And why, do you ask? Because DJ Augustine comes in. And yes, they did play well when DJ Augustine was in the game. But why is DJ Augustine playing at all? It's just absurd. I mean, first of all, Elfrid Payton was playing pretty well. Augustine, he did come in and he ran the offense really well, ended up the night with like 8 assists, and he had 28 minutes. And it was just – so Vogel – I mean, this is the one thing with Vogel, and another reason why Jeff Green – I mean, the second unit came in and played well because it's the Lakers. Everyone could play well. So when Jeff Green and DJ Augustine came in and played pretty well, Dick Vogel just rode those guys. And it was just super annoying, and this is why I tweeted out. You just – Elfrid Payton, he just can't be a cash game player. You can't play a guy for cash – especially if he's over 6K, if he's going to end up getting 19 minutes. I don't care who the matchup is. So it's just a dream killer for Vogel because it seemed like his minutes, he was going to get at least 26, 28 minutes, and it just didn't work out. Dream Lovers, we had a bunch of those. Hold on 1 second. Let me turn on the air conditioning for the bailiff. It's very hot in the apartment. I don't know about where you guys live, but like in New York, it's like freezing. This is about as cold as New York can get. I mean, it was like, it's in the teens right now. Way too cold. I'm just horrible. And it was the snow. Yesterday was a ton of snow for New York too. I mean, that's a talk about a dream killer. Disaster. All right, dream lovers though. I feel good talking about the dream lovers. So back to that Phoenix game. If you played I mean, that game stayed close. So if you played Devin Booker, one trick pony, to me, never a cash game play, although his price is falling a little bit. So single entry in GPPs, though, he's always fine. He went nuts for over 42 FanDuel points. A couple guys from that Golden State game, Durant was pretty good at over 50. So he was the one. He was the right guy to play over LeBron, even though that doesn't make sense at all because LeBron against Phoenix in a super fast-paced game should have smashed. But that's why DFS can be cruel some days. Waffle House Randall, like I mentioned, he's on the upswing. He got 34 minutes on Sunday. He seems to be getting right around 30, at least 32 minutes a night now. Some nights, though, over 35 minutes. And if he's going to get that, he's become the Lakers, like him. I mean, him and D'Angelo Russell, probably the Lakers' best player right now. And I would say Randall is playing better than Russell. Although speaking of Russell was a dream lover as well, over 40 FanDuel points. And you know what I love about Russell? His usage rate is phenomenal. He still has about a 30% usage rate. And that's why for me, Russell is, I mean, I don't think I'm ready to use Russell in cash games, but single entry in GPPs, yeah. And Randall, I can't believe I'm saying this, but Randall now, he's becoming a cash game play. If he's going to get that many minutes, he right now may be a cash game play. Serge Ibaka did pretty well. Mentioned the Tin Man Drummond. I mean, that Detroit game, Detroit-Portland, which was postponed on Friday, or I guess postponed on Saturday and played Sunday, went to double overtime, and Drummond went nuts for 55 FanDuel points because you can attack Portland bigs. Plum Dog was a dream lover as well, had over 40 FanDuel points, but he just doesn't play defense ever. And even though Drummond's a tin man, he's aloof, he's disinterested. I don't even think he knows he's on the basketball court. I'm pretty sure he doesn't know where he is 95% of the day. I don't know how he gets to the arena every night. Just watching him play is sickening. He has by far cost me the most amount of money this year, but he played him. But this was the night to play him, and he rewarded everyone. And he was in almost every winning lineup I saw. Eric Bledsoe had over 40 FanDuel points. He was because the Cavs let Phoenix hang around. Bledsoe did really well. Reggie Jackson became a dream lover, but only because he went to double overtime. He did not play well in regulation. Was in the 20s in FanDuel production, and then in the overtimes, was able to play well, and then to hit close to 40 FanDuel points again. And his price is rising. So I think he's pretty close already, or he was 7K on Sunday, and he'll be close to about 7.5K, and he's going to approach like Kemba Walker territory soon, especially because he has such a massive usage rate. KCP was good for Detroit as well, but that the double overtime game kind of helped everyone from that. If you played Z-Bo, he was the only guy from Memphis, Utah who actually exceeded value, I think. And that's about it for Dream Lovers. So there definitely still were dream lovers. Every night there shall be dream lovers that we can use and attack who can make us money. All right. There's really no injury news for only three games. So I'm looking at the injury news right now. I see like nothing. So that's good at least. All right. Monday slate. We got three games. One is disgusting. One is a turtle pace. If I could tweet it out, I would have the turtle emoji. You guys know I love emojis. I think I use emojis too much. One of my exes told me that. And I told her, you know what? Too bad. I love emojis. I actually used to call them emoticons. And I still to this day not know the difference between an emoticon and an emoji. Is there a difference? Because I like to say emoticons. To me, it's a much more fun word to say. So the worst game of the night, Dallas at Minnesota, 196. Dallas plays one of the slowest paces in the game. Slowest paces in the league. Minnesota plays. You think they play faster, but they really don't. And this is kind of one thing you'll notice is that any team who plays for the most part through their big man. Look at Sacramento. Look at playing through Cousins. Look at Philly playing through Embiid. Look at Minnesota, who now they really do play through Towns. All those teams, they really can't play at a fast pace because it takes time to throw the ball into the big man. So that's one reason why Minnesota and where in past years Rubio would get the ball and would dictate pace and dictate play. Rubio sucks this year, as most of you guys know. He gets benched a lot of games, doesn't play a ton of minutes. And even when he does play, he stands in a corner for a lot of that game. So, you know, it's Rubio doesn't really have much impact on the game, and that really they do go through Towns a lot. So that's why, you know, Minnesota plays at, I think it's somewhere in the middle of the pack, and not that fast enough. So you add them, you put them in a matchup versus Dallas, and you get a nasty over-under like this. You know, OKC at the Bulls, which in real life, this is going to be the best game of the night to watch. 207.5 over-under. Man, it's going to be awesome. You can get some, I guess Roberson's going to be guarding Jimmy Butler, who's been going nuts. I bet you they put Jimmy Butler at times on Westbrook. They'll probably start the game with MCW on Westbrook, who's a pretty good defender. But I bet you at the fourth quarter, the last Bulls game, Jimmy Butler guarded Kyle Lowry the entire fourth quarter and overtime. So I bet you fourth quarter we see Jimmy Butler on Westbrook, so that'll be fun to watch. Then in the game where you have two horrific defenses, the best game probably to attack from a DFS perspective, you got the Pelicans and the Knicks. Both are disasters defensively. The Knicks have been just atrocious lately defensively, and the Pelicans just all year long have sucked defensively. And what's funny about that is the Pelicans are basically third – they give up the third most points to opposing point guards, whereas the Knicks give up the third most to shooting guards. So Buddy Hield is a guy on a three-game slate I'm going to have a lot of exposure to. You know, hopefully he can help me take down a GPP. And for the Knicks, dear gods, I mean, I have to play some Derrick Rose, who, by the way, has basically been benched the last two games. He got benched in the fourth quarter, I think the last two games. So not played a lot of minutes. Still got a nice usage rate. So it's going to be interesting to see how much of Derrick Rose do we use. And you know, he should be able to destroy the Pelicans, though. I mean, they're so bad defensively. So in terms of pace, I mean, the Bulls are playing up in pace the most, then the Pelicans, and then the Knicks. But it's not by anything significant that makes me want to, like, go out of my way to attack a team or target a team, you know, anymore. I guess the Bulls a little bit, but I'm not looking too much in terms of just a team playing up in pace to attack on Monday. Defense versus position, I mentioned the Pelicans are atrocious versus point guard, and the Knicks are bad for shooting guard. The Pelicans are also horrific versus power forwards. So Porzingis is against Anthony Davis is in an elite spot on Monday night. And then at center, back to these two teams. I mean, the Knicks, they stink defensively at center. I mean, Noah's a dead man walking, even though he's been playing better lately. And Kyle O'Quinn can't stop fouling people. I mean, right now he's fouling me. I feel his hands all over me right now. He just gropes everyone. So the problem is the Pelicans don't really have a center, so that doesn't really help. I mean, God forbid they could play Terrence Jones some more minutes. But maybe Terrence Jones becomes a sneaky play. Or Dante Eunice, whatever that guy's name is, who's now on the Pelicans team, might get some extra run. He looked good in his first game for them. All right, should we hop into the plays? Only three games, but there's still guys to discuss. So, like every slate, Westbrook's in play, or Westbrook is playing. So first question is, do we play or do we not play Russell Westbrook? Look, if you don't play Westbrook in cash games, the judge will come to your house personally, and I will take my gavel. Wait, where is my gavel? I did not see my gavel. Now I'm going to be uncomfortable the rest of the show. Hope I didn't lose it. By the way, I do have an actual gavel. I know some of you might think I'm joking, but I genuinely do. I bought it on Amazon. Man, I love that gavel. But if you don't play Westbrook, I will come to your house and I will hit you with my gavel. I will hit you gently. I will not be anything serious, but you better play Westbrook in cash. I think on a slate like this, I think mostly in terms of like raw number of points. Like I want my lineup to, let's say, hit 300 points. I don't care how it gets there. Maybe I have to roster two guys who I know are going to stink and give me 5-10 Fanduel points. I don't care. There's certain guys that I need on this slate in my lineups. Westbrook is by far the one guy you need the most. Get him in your lineup, move on. So then we only got eight players that we need to roster on Monday. Westbrook, you better play him. I mean, in a tournament, by the way, and if you do consultations with me, you'll know this. Tournament's entirely different. That's a different ballgame. Entirely different thinking. So in a tournament, could you fade Westbrook? Yeah, I mean, you could play Anthony Davis and then go with kind of a more balanced lineup. But on this slate, a three-game slate, where Davis and Westbrook are the only two kind of stars. I mean, I guess you do have Porzingis and Towns and guys like that who you play as well. But even in tournaments, it's just a tough day to fade Westbrook. I mean, normally on like a 4, 5, 6 game slate, then yeah, tournaments absolutely. And maybe I'll still roll out one lineup where I fade Westbrook in a tournament because, as you guys know, that is pricey. He's got to give us 62, 63 FanDuel points to feel good about it. And MCW is a decent defender. And if the Bulls have any, you know, any legitimate coach, who I'm not sure if Hoiberg is, you know, you think they would double Westbrook a little bit, try to get the ball out of his hands, make Oladipo shoot a little bit, make other guys beat them. I don't know why more teams aren't doubling Westbrook and Harden this year, by the way. It's confusing. Next up, Drew Holiday. So there's nothing exciting about Drew Holiday these days. I watched from start to finish the last two Pelicans games. He's got you 26 and 25 FanDuel points in those two games. And that's basically how he looked. Mediocre, average, nothing stood out. On a slate like this, that may be good enough, though. He's still 6.9K. He does have upside. He does have skill. He does have talent. It just hasn't shown itself lately, at least in the last couple games. But before that, though, he got 37 and 38. If he gave you like 38 or close to 40 on Monday, you probably would take that and run. So he's fine. Safe for all formats. Right now, because I want like a Westbrook and Anthony Davis in my cash lineup, I don't have the salary to use him in cash games for Monday. But he's fine for all formats if you want. And plus, you know, as we know, Derrick Rose, he's been getting benched because he sucks defensively. And even though the Knicks, the defensive first position, says that they're okay, they're really not. Derrick Rose cannot defend anyone. So even though it says they give up the ninth fewest points to point guards, I say booyah to that. Or not booyah. I couldn't think of a word to say fast enough. So Holiday fine all formats. Derrick Rose, I mentioned up top of the show, the Pelicans are atrocious defensively, give up the third most FanDuel points to point guards. I thought that would get better. I thought that was mostly Tim Frazier related and would get better when Drew Holiday's playing, but that hasn't really as the season has progressed. You still can attack the hell out of the Pelicans' point guards. So Rose is fine. I mean, the one thing is he really has. The minutes are down because he's 26 and 32 minutes the last two games. And last four games, 26, 32, 33, 28. So he's still been fine. He's still giving me 23, 25, 22, 25 FanDuel points because he still has a 28% usage rate. And on this slate, that's the second highest usage rate out of any point guard. So while right now all signs are pointing towards Rose is on the downside in terms of what's going on in real life and DFS, because it's such a nasty nasty slate, he's fine. He's fine. He's another guy, fine for all formats. Just hope that he plays really well and can get some fourth quarter minutes. Deron Williams. Yeah, so I like playing Deron Williams when it's not a back-to-back. And the one thing I do not like, though, is that J.J. Brea is back. So the first game, J.J. came back. Deron Williams got only 28 minutes, had only 17 FanDuel points against Atlanta, by the way, who gives up, I think, the most or second most FanDuel points to point guards. So Deron Williams was in an elite spot. And J.J. Brea absolutely will impact his value. So on this three-game slate, I think we may have to still have exposure to Deron Williams. But it's hard to feel great about it because Brea is going to play 17. He played seven. Brea got 17 minutes his first game back. I expect him to basically play close to 20 minutes a night because he's pretty good. And Dallas does need scoring, and Brea can score a little bit. I mean, they also could play Deron and J.J. At the same time. But Dallas also has other guards. Like Devin Harris is healthy now, so as Dallas gets healthier, that makes Deron Williams less intriguing to me. The price has come down a little bit, so I like that. But not an elite play, but he's fine. He'll be low-owned. He'll be overlooked. And you can take a shot on him. To me, he's going to be a tournament-only guy, though. Ricky Rubio is 5.6K. Minnesota playing way down in pace against Dallas. It's basically stand in the corner, Ricky. So I don't like anything about him except the price has come down a little bit to 5.6K. And I like the fact he got 34 and 35 minutes the last two games. I mean, he has scored over 30 FanDuel points. One looks like twice in the last 10 games. So again, another guy, not excited to play, especially playing way down in pace. You know, the judge likes teams playing up in pace and more possessions. So less possessions for Rubio, who already with a 17% usage rate. So tournament play only for me. J.J. Brea, same thing, tournament only because he's, you know, right now, I don't how many minutes is he going to get? Like I said, he's still, by the way, he's still 5.2K. That's too pricey. Like, I don't know what his price is on DraftKings, but hopefully maybe if he's like a 3.5K player on DraftKings on a 3-game slate, maybe I'll consider him, but not 5.2K if you're only going to give me 17 minutes. MCW, intriguing play because he is starting, but as if you guys listen to the podcast, you know that the Bulls don't really need a point guard because they have Jeremy. There's too many Grants, either Jerion or Jeremy. They have one of the Grant brothers. Then they have Isaiah Cannon. And then, most importantly, in the fourth quarter, they can play Wade or Butler at point guard. And then play Mirotić or Doug McDermott because they need a shooter to space the floor. So even though Michael Carter-Williams starts, the last two games, 16 and 28 minutes, because they don't need him to play a lot of minutes. So while I think – I do like attacking Westbrook because Westbrook does not play defense at all. I think MCW is fine. Most likely he should see close to maybe 24 to 28 minutes, hopefully. If he's playing well, then he might get some more minutes. But not a monster ceiling. On a 3-game slate, though, I think he's safe. I mean, I got to save money somewhere. I do believe he will find a way to grind me out and stumble and bumble and fumble in the 20 FanDuel points. And on this slate, if that's going to let me get Westbrook in my lineup, I will use him in cash. And other than that, that's about as low as I'm going to go at point guard. I mean, I guess Ron Baker, if you think Derrick Rose is going to get benched again, you take a flyer on Ron Baker maybe? Although, no, you can't do it. Forget I said that. Watching the last Knicks game, at one point the Knicks had four white guys on the court. I don't know if that's ever happened in the history of the NBA, at least, well, like post-90s. In the 80s, I'm sure the Celtics had that every day. But it was very bizarre to see. I didn't like it. And obviously not much talent on the court when that happens. And then someone tweeted me that Philly can do that as well. And I guess that's true, right? Because Philly would have McConnell, Stauskas, Ersan. Who's the other guy? Stauskas, McConnell, Ersan. And not, it's going to come to me. Oh, great. Now all you guys are going to tweet me the fourth guy. That better come to my head. I guess Sergio Rodriguez, is that the other guy? Oh, that's, I don't know if that's sure that would count. Do European guys, are they just considered white guys? That's a good question too. I don't know. Either way, Knicks and Philly, probably only two teams that could do that. All right, shooting guard. You got D Wade at 6.6K. I mean, Dwayne Wade's, his usage rate is still higher than Jimmy Butler's, if you guys can believe that. And I don't think it's something you have to believe because it's actually just factual. So that's a fact. His usage rate is 30.2%, whereas Butler's, I think, is like 29. It's close. So Butler's 29.9%. But still, the fact that Wade's usage is still that high is pretty great. If he would have just made some shots last game, he would have ended up with 50 FanDuel points. He ended up with 35 FanDuel points because he shot 6 for 19 from the floor. But he had 20 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 1 block. Wade is going to get pumped up for this game against OKC. I'm not sure if this is a nationally televised game. Maybe it's on NBA TV or something. It should be because it's going to be a fun game. So, like, Wade's gets – I mean, if, as long as it's not a back-to-back, I think Wade is safe for all formats, especially on this small slate. I think Wade has got a floor of – with that usage rate, maybe 25. And he does have a ceiling of close to, like, 45. The one problem here is Oladipo. And Oladipo is a legit lockdown defender. Super athletic. You know, Wade, this is not 2008, so Wade's going to have trouble getting around Oladipo. He is stronger than him, so he can post him up, and he still should be okay. But that does worry me a little bit. Zach LaVine, 6.4K. Look, I mean, Zach LaVine and Wiggins, every night one of them is going to go off and one's going to be a bum. Which one? God only knows. What's interesting here is, so LaVine, his usage rate's not that great. I mean, he plays 40 minutes a night, but the usage is not that great, 23.4%. And he Minnesota playing way down in pace, and he gets Wesley Matthews. So I prefer Wade, and I prefer the next guy, Oladipo, who's 5.9K. Oladipo, not great usage, around 21%, but the Bulls are kind of the middle of the pack in defense first position. The pace of this game, much better than Dallas-Minnesota. I do see the Bulls trying to get the ball out of Westbrook's hands a little bit, and especially when Butler defends Westbrook late in the game. Granted, I don't think that will phase Westbrook one bit. But maybe he gets a little lets Oladipo do a little bit with the ball. Probably not, but still, 5.9K, very safe safe price. And Oladipo is going to get big minutes, 33, 41, 36, 35 last four games, 29, 29, 28, 30 FanDuel points. He's got to give you about 30 to hit value. I think he's going to get right around there again. And he's got upside. If he's hitting a shot, he can give you 40, 45. So safe for all formats. I really do like Oladipo on Monday. And I do think you need to get Westbrook and Anthony Davis in your cash game lineup. So Oladipo, not expensive, and you can still roster him and feel good about it. Feel good about the rest of your lineup. Wesley Matthews, 5.2K. So the good news is his price is coming down. The bad news is he sucks. He stinks. He hides in a corner. He's one of the guys who I talk about all the time. Just six, seven, eight possessions go by. He doesn't touch the ball. The usage rate keeps going down. It's at now 20.9%. They run so much that often. They run so many pick and rolls. If I see one more Darren Williams, Harrison Barnes pick and roll, end in like a disgusting Harrison Barnes 18-foot jumper, I'm going to use the gavel against myself. It's just, it just doesn't work either. By the way, I mean, Harrison Barnes is playing well, though. That's mean. I apologize, Harrison. Harrison, you're trying very hard. It's just Dallas. I mean, their team just stinks. And I think with JJ Brack, that does hurt Wesley Matthews' minutes a little bit. He was down to 33. He's been getting like close to 35 to 40 a night. So JJ Brack back, that impacts him a little bit as well. I mean, will Wesley probably find a way to get you 20 FanDuel points? Probably, but just there's not much of a ceiling there. It's a being John Malkovich play right now. So if you need it, just because you're looking to save a little bit, it's okay, but I just it's hard to get excited about it. Tyreke Evans, he's finally coming down to 5K, but not yet. He's playing 20 minutes at that. He got close to 20 FanDuel points, but yeah, I'm not ready to play him. So next two guys are sadly going to be – well, not sadly, because Buddy Hield, 4.1K. The Knicks have been disgusting defending point shooting guard this year. And Courtney Lee still continues to get tons of minutes. And they got Courtney Lee to play defense. So I don't understand why Courtney Lee plays at all. Justin Holiday should be the one playing. It makes zero sense to me. Another one of my coaches being dream killers. It makes no sense. But they're both in play on Monday. Courtney Lee, no ceiling, but pretty safe. We'll probably get you between 15 and 25 FanDuel points. Probably end up closer to 18 to 22 FanDuel points because that's what he does every game. Super boring to watch, super frustrating. We'll have 5 FanDuel points after the first quarter, 8 after the second quarter, 15 after the third quarter. It will be a grind. It will not be fun if you play him, but he should get there. Buddy Hield, much more upside. I'm a much bigger fan. I love the Buddy Hield play. The problem was last game, I loved him too, I think on Saturday. He only got 24 minutes because sometimes Lankster, Gangster, Fankster, Prankster Galloway will come in. And if Galloway gets hot, then Elvin Gentry lets Galloway play a ton of minutes. And that's what happened last game. So my boy Buddy Hield, who does have some talent and does have some serious upside, only got 24 minutes, only 16 FanDuel points. But Buddy Hield has 30, 40 FanDuel point upside. He really does. So for single entry and GBPs, I much prefer Hield to Courtney Lee. I just mentioned his name. So Galloway, man, if you wanted someone in a tournament, Galloway had 26 FanDuel points last game, 3.7K, because if he comes in and makes his shots, he will get extra minutes. I'm not a fan of that play, but you can do it. And I wish I could mention Justin Holiday. But he's, 8 minutes the last two games because Jeff Hornacek is a moron. Small forward, Jimmy Butler, 9.6K. So he's expensive. And this is part of the problem. Like, Chicago normally doesn't play at a great pace. Now, they are playing up in pace against OKC. It is a small slate. I just don't have the money to play Jimmy Butler in cash. He's got to give me 45, close to 50 FanDuel points. The interesting thing here, so he's done that maybe 3 times in the last 10 games. The problem, like, his price went up so much because, as you guys know, two of those games, he was just otherworldly. He had a 64 Fando point in the last game against Toronto where he just absolutely went nuts. And the first half, he sucked. It was basically all in the second half and then overtime. And then he had an 81 Fando point night on a night when Wade was out. And as you guys know, Rondo doesn't play anymore. So Butler, especially when Wade is out, Butler is now an elite player. And then that price is very fair. But with Wade back, Butler's going to get either Oladipo defense or probably Roberson defense. And Butler's had like so many games in the last couple weeks, 31, 31, 37, 37, 41. So, I don't love the play at that price. I just don't. I mean, I think it's still fine, and I think he'll probably get you close to 40. But is he going to give me 50-plus on Monday? I mean, he could. But I just don't love the play. I mean, right now, I'll use him a little bit in some tournaments. But yeah, I don't have the money in cash. Carmelo 7.9K. So you know when Carmelo plays, he's still really good. Unfortunately, I mean, I say when he plays, and I guess figuratively and literally, because sometimes he's becoming a tin man. It looks like he doesn't even want to be on the court. I mean, is he becoming a Magic Mountain guy? Does he need to be on the roller coaster with us at Magic Mountain? I mean, 27, 48, 56, 39, 12, 44, 17. Now, a couple of those, like one was an injury game or only played a half. One game he got ejected. So I think as long as he's still getting minutes, he's fine. Another guy I do not play on back-to-backs, but he's coming off and he gets some rest now. The Pelicans. I mean, they're decent defensively at that position, but he's fine. He's safe for on this slate. He's safe for all formats, and you get to save $1,700 from Jimmy Butler. And could he easily end the night with more Fando points than Butler? Yeah, he could. I mean, that game there'll be no defense played in that Pelicans Knicks game. Harrison Barnes 6.7K. He's fine. Dallas is playing up in pace a little bit. Barnes is a pretty safe cash game play. I do think Brea hurts him as well. I think Brea, actually, he hurts everyone from that team. But Barnes will still be okay. Barnes right now doesn't have the best usage in the world right now. But it's currently at – yeah, it's only 25%. And you're, I mean, at a 6.7K price, that's pretty pricey, man. Wow. Why is his usage so low? Who the hell else is shooting for Dallas? I guess I should also mention Dirk is back. So Dirk being back, it hurts. I mean, Dirk and Brea hurts everyone's usage, especially in that starting unit. So Barnes at that 6.7K price tag, that's suddenly feeling too expensive. I'm not a huge fan of that play right now, especially with Dirk back taking a lot of shots and minutes. Andrew Wiggins, 6.4K. I just don't know when he's going to go off, when he's not. The last four games, 25, 47, 17, 29. Like, that's who he is. He's going to look like the worst player on the planet some nights when he's missing his shots. When he's making his shots, he'll get you over 40 actual points and close to 50 Fando points. It's just super hard to predict. I'd prefer to play him in a game where there's going to be extra possessions and playing up in pace, not against Dallas. But I'm not going to play him in cash on Monday. But single entry in GPP, sure. Other than that, after that, it takes a hit. You go down fast. You go down to 4K. There's no one in between 4K to 6.4K on the slate. So you got Doug McDermott at 4K is next. And, yeah, lock and load. No, not lock and load. But he's fine. He's quite honestly fine for all these days at that price on this slate. He's fine for all formats because, like I said, you need Westbrook and I think Anthony Davis in your cash game lineups. Dougie D, 31, 28 the last two games. And I think right now his floor is around 15 FanDuel points. It's going to be hard for him he played 38 minutes last game. I don't see that happening again. But he's a guy, if his shot's falling, he'll get extra minutes too. So I prefer in cash games to probably go Roberson, who I know is going to be locked into monster minutes guarding Jimmy Butler at 3.8K. But for like single entry and GPPs, I don't mind Doug McDermott at all. Roberson's only 3.8K. And 25, 29 Fando points last two games, 39, 36 minutes. He is a guy that can play 30 minutes and give you five Fando points. But, you know, I think he'll find a way to stumble bumble into 20 Fando points. So for cash games, I do like Roberson. Power forward, Anthony Davis. So Porzingis is a good defender. So Anthony Davis not in an elite spot here, but I think the upside's too good to pass up for me in cash games. Tournaments, if you wanted to fade Anthony Davis, even on this slate, I think you can do it, and you could try to run a more balanced lineup with Westbrook, or maybe you fade Westbrook in one lineup and go Anthony Davis with a Porzingis and play some Towns and guys like that. But overall, I mean, Anthony Davis, his usage rate is such a tasty 31%. 58, 48, 47, 47 FanDuel points the last four games or so. You know, he does need to get us 55 FanDuel points to feel good about it on a normal slate. But remember, this is the slate where I want just raw total number of points. So if Anthony Davis only gives me like 50, I'd probably, maybe 45. That still might turn out to be enough, especially in cash games. So, I like me some Anthony Davis. Speaking of who he's up against, though, Porzingis, Anthony Davis is not playing much defense this year at all. I'm not sure if they'll actually have AD defending Porzingis. Maybe they put someone else on him, quite honestly. But either way, Porzingis, he's kind of matchup-proof anyway, to be honest. So 30 and 36 the last two games. Sometimes he's frustrating to play in cash games. So he's going to be a single-entry GPP play for me on this slate. But still, a guy with monster upside, the best over-under of the day. He could give you a 40-50 FanDuel point night. And I don't think he'll match Anthony Davis. But if he comes close to like matching Anthony Davis' point total, that's a win. And I think he's got a shot to do it. So I do like Porzingis. And the less Derrick Rose, the better it is for Porzingis, because that means he'll get the ball a little bit. So seeing Derrick Rose minutes on the decline, that's a super positive thing for Porzingis, because right now his usage rate is only 23.4%, and that's piss poor for someone of his talent. Gorgui Dieng, 5.5K. Not a sexy play here in a slowdown game, but he's got 40 minutes the last two games, 28, 34 FanDuel points. And if he gets like some Dirk Nowitzki defense, that sounds pretty delicious to me. So I think he's safe for all formats. Enes Kanter, 5.3K. He's going to be probably a tournament-only guy for me. You could do single entry as well if you want. The minutes have been, down back. He was close to getting over 25 a night. Now they've been closer to 20, 21 the last four or five games. And he's been consistent still in the 20s to low 30s. And then he'll give you the occasional 9, 10 FanDuel point night. The Bulls do struggle to defend down low, even with Gibson and Robin Lopez. So if Kanter gets minutes, he'll be fine. He's a fantasy point per minute monster. So I think for the most part, he should be okay. But cash games, I'd prefer a guy like Gorgui Dieng, who I know he's going to get 40 minutes. Dirk Nowitzki, I guess we should mention him. He's 5.2K. He only got – I tweeted about this. He played 30 minutes last game out. That's his highest of the year. And he had 21 FanDuel points. The last three games, 20, 27, and 22. So, I mean, could you play him? Yeah, on a three-game slate. If he all of a sudden comes out and plays 32 minutes and hits all his shots, why couldn't he give you a 40 FanDuel point night? I guess it could happen. I don't expect it to, but sure. On a three-game slate, this would be the day to play a little Dirk. Taj Gibson, 4.7K. If you're looking for a cheap guy to play, I think he's safe. I think he's going to find a way to stumble bumble in 20 FanDuel points. The minutes haven't been great. It's hard for him to top 30 minutes these days. That's because the Bulls are slowly starting to realize they do need to spread that floor and give Mirotić more minutes. And that's the next guy up, Mirotić. Maybe Taj in some cash games. But then Mirotić, if I have to choose between either of them in a single entry or tournaments, I would choose Mirotić. Mirotić, far greater upside. When he gets the ball, he basically jacks up a 40-foot three-pointer. I mean, watch him play. Him and Ryan Anderson, they're like always like 4 feet behind the three-point line for some reason, and they decide to shoot. I mean, you guys know you can step in a little bit. You still get 3 points if you're just like right behind the line as well. It's weird. But either way, he's been 28, 26, 21 last three games. At that price, I think he's fine for all formats. Terrence Jones, very interesting, sneaky. I think he's going to be a sneaky under-the-radar play. Sadly, only got 16 minutes last game because Elvin Gentry, he treats him like a yo-yo. So the minutes he could play between 16 and 30. He's a fancy point-per-minute guy, though. If he does get big minutes, he could be put up big production. But right now, tournaments only. Donatas Mietajunas, who I mentioned at the top of the show. It seems like Elvin Gentry likes him already better than Terrence Jones. He got 20 minutes in his first game with them, had 25 FanDuel points. He was a good – when he played for Houston, I liked him. He was good. So 3.8K, people are probably going to be sleeping on him. It's hard to be a sneaky ninja on a three-game slate. You can play some Donatas if you want. And that's about it. I guess Dwight Powell is not going to be in play anymore with Dirk back. Not that he was getting minutes anyway. All right, center. Karl-Anthony Towns, 9.2K. I don't like attacking Andrew Bogut, but I think Bogut's out. Isn't Bogut out these days? I'm confused. I thought Bogut was hurt. No, Bogut's back playing. Yeah, I don't like attacking Bogut. Playing way down in pace. Plus, I want Anthony Davis and Westbrook. Center does suck. It's horrible. It's Towns, and then there's no one priced 6K, 7 in the 6K range, 7K range, 8K range. It's Karl-Anthony Towns, and then Steven Adams. So, I mean, just because there's no one else to play, I'll have Towns in some tournament lineups. But cash games, I can't fit him. In cash games, I'm looking to Steven Adams right now, 5.9K. Robin Lopez just hasn't been that good lately, and Adams has been great. The minutes. The last two have been like around 30, and quite honestly, a lot of games this year, I see him close to the 30 minute mark, but even if only gets 30 minutes, that should be enough. The production's been phenomenal lately, 34, 28, 39, and 41 FanDuel points the last four or five games. So lock and load for my cash games. And I think he's safe for tournaments too. Other than that, you could take a gamble on Joakim Noah, 4.9K. He's looked banged up the last couple games, 21, 20 minutes. So I don't love that play, but it's three game slate. Robin Lopez, another guy, just hasn't looked right. I don't like to attack guys like Steve. I don't like to attack Steven Adams. And the last three games, Robin Lopez has been under 20 FanDuel points. He has gotten over 23 minutes a night the last few games. So in a tournament, maybe, but yeah, it's hard to like that play either. And then, Kylo Quinn, you could take a shot at. Andrew Bogut, I mean, he's 3.8K. You could take a shot with him. But, I mean, for me, it's really going to be kind of Towns, but mostly Adams. Yeah, I mean, three-game slate, not center is disgusting. All right, that's it. That is the slate. Whew, I'm exhausted, man. It's 4 in the morning. That's why I'm tired. But still, it's a long show, man, with three-game slate. But I feel like we talked about lots of things, right? Consultations, Chambers land. So if you want to get in the Chambers, remember, I have no idea how to make that happen. But I'm going to try to tweet out the links around 5 p.m. Eastern every day. You guys can still tweet at me at DanielAGreen1 if you want. And maybe if I do have time during the day, I will do my best to get you in. Want a consultation, let me know. You can tweet at me or go to the website, dgcourtroomdfs.com. Send me an email. Other than that, I hope you had a glorious weekend. Hope your Monday goes well. You know what? Let's not even watch college football. Let's find a way to get creative and make some money and achieve glory on a three-game slate, because it still can be done, my friends. There's still money to be had on Monday. And for gosh darn it, if someone's going to make money, why not us? Why not us? All right, guys, that's the show. Rate, review, subscribe to the podcast, download the app Draft, use the promo code DFBPOD. All right, I don't have my gavel, so I'm going to fake it. Court is adjourned.